constructed of the theft of the resources, both material and human, of African and other people as a consequence of its existence. It's stealing black labor, black bodies, black territory, of the rape of Asia, Latin America, etc. It's a rotten, foul social system. That's the world we live in. And if you raise the question of reparations, it makes it necessary for African people to come to terms with this. So much is done against us all the time. Demoralizing black people. You took my money, you took my resources, you stole every damn thing we got. I want it back.
Uhuru, you are listening to Reparations in Action, live on uhururadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. We'd like to thank Uhuru News and the African People's Socialist Party for giving us this time every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on uhururadio.com. This is the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee. African People's Solidarity Committee and its mass organization, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, are organizations founded by and led by the African People's Socialist Party for white people and other allies to take a stand, a genuine principled stand in solidarity with the right of African people and other oppressed peoples around the world to lead their own struggle for liberation and for reparations and self-determination for the right of African people to control their own land, lives, and resources. My name is Harris Daniels. I'm a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee and an organizer here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we're broadcasting from today. And we really want to thank everybody for listening. We want to get right into the show. You know, we heard some really excellent broadcasts earlier today. A great presentation on Amalia Shetela Speaks from the chairman on the question of the state, which is so crucial to our understanding and why we are African internationalists, to understand the true nature of the imperialist state, because otherwise we get confused about our relationship to the police versus other people's relationship to the police and the state and the government, and how the society and social system really functions. But we understand it is parasitic capitalism. It is the necessity of this system to have built itself on the backs of African and indigenous people to exploit and build the entire system based on the stolen land, resources, and labor of African and indigenous people, and that we are the beneficiaries of that in the white community who have all the resources and the social wealth. And that to understand our relationship to the state is to understand this organization. You know, you can join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement to break that historic complicity with the state and to work in genuine solidarity with the movement of African people, led by African people. We really do want to encourage people at the head of this show and throughout to go to uhurusolidarity.org and become a sustaining member today. You know, we really, you know, put forward those who have already taken the stand and carry the card of Uhuru Solidarity Movement membership. And you too can become a member and participate in this work, or be a supporter or a donor or anything that you can do with your resources, time, energy, and skills and expertise that we've, you know, been able to get from going to college, getting good jobs, you know, our families, the legacy of wealth in our communities, to put that forward to the revolution, to really work in the movement that's leading on-the-ground programs everywhere around the world, on the continent of Africa, in cities inside the U.S., in Europe, and in the Caribbean. We heard a great show on Africa Live, where Nibinga Dzimbawe interviewed comrades Charles Walker and Alex Morley in the Bahamas, who were in the African People's Socialist Party Bahamas. It was really powerful to hear, you know, both the outrageous conditions that African people continue to suffer under colonialism, where the Queen of England is considered the head of state in the Bahamas, a supposedly you know, free nation, but we know colonialism still exists, and it is neo-colonialism that we must, you know, recognize and address, and African people are taking that on in the leadership of the Uhuru movement to build the African Socialist International. What we really want to talk about today are several campaigns, one of which everyone listening must have heard about by now, and I know all of our you know, web content, our blog, and other postings that we've done around the internet in the last few days have addressed our position on the Invisible Children charity organization's CONI 2012 video. And what this video is, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's definitely not necessary for you to see it because it's pretty upsetting to see the way that this white-led charity organization portrays African people and frames their mission as some kind of great humanitarian aid to Africa, when in reality it is paving the way for and actively funding the military intervention of the U.S. AFRICOM military program, specifically in Uganda, but throughout Africa. And what it is targeting one person, one leader of a militia group in Central Africa named Joseph Kony, who for the past 25 or more years has you know, led the Lord's Resistance Army out of Uganda and also in southern Sudan and parts of Congo and the Central African Republic, and recruited something like 30,000 or more child soldiers into this militant group to fight against the Ugandan military. And these are all, of course, awful atrocities and terrible things that this this leader, who is also a neo-colonial force, you know, certainly not working in the genuine interests of African people and the African working class, has, you know, recruited children, kidnapped young African people, and robbed them from what could be a life of organizing for resistance against imperialism into a proxy war. And, you know, the Invisible Children charity doesn't sum it up this way. They see him as the number one war criminal in the world and is calling for the International Criminal Court to find and prosecute him. And the campaign that the video accompanies is to raise money for U.S. military advisors, which Obama has already sent in to Uganda, to arm and advise the Ugandan government's military, which, under Museveni, has actually also recruited child soldiers even prior to Kony's Lord's Resistance Army. But all of these intricacies and nuances aside, if we're going to talk about war criminals, we need to start with the United States and Europe and the war crimes that have been committed against African people and indigenous people around the world since 1492, even going back prior to that, because the real war criminal is imperialism. And if we're even going to have a discussion about the kidnapping and murder and rape of children, we need to look no further than the U.S. Marines in Afghanistan, or the U.S. military in Iraq, or the colonial occupation of African communities right here inside the U.S. by the police. I mean, you can't tell us that there's somebody out there in Africa who for the past 25 years has been committing atrocities, who now is the enemy, that U.S. imperialism has some kind of right to prosecute and to attack, because the attack on Africa began 500 years ago and continues. And the real contradictions, the real core issue that we in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement absolutely, you know, recognize as African internationalists, is colonialism that is today the continuation of the attack on Africa that begat the slave trade and the birth of parasitic capitalism inside the U.S. and the capitalist economy in Europe. We really recognize that everyone today is becoming more and more aware of the conditions of African people, both on the continent of Africa as well as inside the U.S. And we really want to talk about that and address questions and really see, you know, what it is that our role is, you know, as white people in the U.S. who essentially benefited from this oppression of African and indigenous people. What is our role? What can we do? And, you know, we say in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement that our role is to make reparations. We believe in joining organization that is led by and accountable to the African-led Uhuru movement that's building the African Socialist International, and to participate in real reparations work to build lasting institutions, to raise resources for on-the-ground programs like the infant and maternal health clinic in Sierra Leone that the All African Peoples Development and Empowerment Project leads, and the programs of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, the African Socialist International, and the African People's Education and Defense Fund. All of these are African self-determination programs led by African people themselves. They're not charity. And that is the key difference between what they're talking about in Invisible Children and what we're talking about in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. We're about revolution. We're revolutionaries. We support the right of African people to lead their own struggle for liberation. And we are 100% in unconditional solidarity with the mission and the programs of the Uhuru movement. And we want to talk more about what you can do if you're listening at home to participate in supporting that, because this isn't just asking for a couple pennies a day to sponsor a child. This isn't asking for a donation by buying a wristband and not knowing where that money goes. This isn't saying, you know, that we want to support the U.S. in intervention in Africa and sending military to fight some militant leader in Africa. This is about the worldwide African revolution, and we have a role in it. I do want to read a piece from the book One People, One Party, One Destiny, which is the political report to the 5th Congress of the African People's Socialist Party, USA. This was the political report written and presented by Chairman Omali Eshitela, and there's a section in it that really speaks to us as white people, that says white people must side with African workers. I'm going to read an excerpt from it to really show our analysis and our understanding from the African People's Socialist Party on what the world situation is and how we fit into it and how we can take a principled stand. So this is Omali Eshitela, chairman of the African Socialist International, from One People, One Party, One Destiny. White people must side with African workers. In the current period, the contradictions of imperialism are being generalized. Cascading successive struggles of the oppressed peoples everywhere are successfully changing the political and economic contours of the world. This is the source of the crisis of imperialism and the reason the imperialists have geared up for a permanent state of war, currently characterized as a fight against terrorism. Nevertheless, despite all the imperialist duplicity and claims about fighting terrorism, imperialist war is being increasingly discredited as a viable solution. The economic crisis and bourgeois colonialist state response to it are exposing greater numbers of North American oppressor nation citizens to economic anxiety and political outrage. The self-interested concerns of the North American oppressor nation citizens are real. The problem historically is that the North American population is usually united with solutions to their perceived problems at the expense of Africans and others. This is an example of the power of the ideological foundation of imperialism. Historically, the ruling class initiators and ultimate beneficiaries of this ideology have used it to promote and validate the obscene ability of whites to unite with their own white ruling class and opportunistically separate their own narrow, self-serving interests from those of the majority of the peoples of the world. This traditional North American opportunism, the tendency to choose short-term benefits for themselves at the expense of the long-term interests of the masses of the world's peoples, serves to protect imperialism by splitting the North American people and self-serving, self-defined progressives from the struggling peoples of the world. During this period, when so many of the inherent contradictions of imperialism are in a state of simultaneous convergence, however, we have the greatest opportunity, perhaps in history, to win a significant sector of the North American oppressor nation citizens to unity with African revolution. Today, with North Americans feeling pain and often needing to respond to it, we must look for occasions to use their own pain as the starting point in the discussion, helping them in the process to recognize that although they are not accustomed to it, theirs is not a special pain. They must be made to understand that theirs is a pain born of the very nature of a social system built and sustained by slavery, colonialism, and genocide committed against the majority population of the world. The theory of African internationalism must be taken to North Americans and Europeans. The African People's Solidarity Committee and Uhuru Solidarity Movement is the potent weapon that we will employ in this critical task. In order to be effective, it is not enough to only educate the North American population to the aggressions of imperialism against Africans and others. We must develop our capacity to explain to the North American population the connection between its current crisis and the very nature of the system of slavery, colonialism, and genocide. So we understand that even in this time of crisis, which we see the response to it ranging from, you know, the Tea Party protesting the government to the Occupy movement, which we've had, you know, several discussions on this show in the past about, to really understand the connection between the crisis of imperialism and the foundation of parasitic capitalism as a state built on colonialism, slavery, and genocide. And that if we are going to see any kind of long-term solutions, it has to be led by and addressing the leadership and the fundamental pedestal of the African working class and indigenous and oppressed peoples around the world. You know, we really unite with that analysis and take that into our communities as organizers in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And we're really building right now for what we call Occupy Imperialism, which is the national convention of Uhuru Solidarity Movement, which is going to be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, June 9th through 10th, 2012. And you should check out right now on uhurusolidarity.org or directly on our blog, uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com, the call written by African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess for people to come to Philadelphia June 9th and 10th, 2012, and to unite with the convention to really consolidate this organization and take our campaigns out into the world, you know, as anti-imperialists, as African internationalists in the white community. The call Occupy Imperialism, Crisis, Resistance, and Solidarity makes the call to stop the war on the African and Mexican communities inside the U.S., to stop Obama's worldwide wars, solidarity with the resistance of African and oppressed peoples, and sponsor, you know, this convention sponsored by the Uhuru Solidarity Movement as an organization of white people and other allies under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party. We're the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and we are calling on everyone to join us in an organizing conference June 9th and 10th in Philadelphia to target the foundation on which Wall Street rests and to stand in solidarity with the worldwide resistance of African and indigenous peoples as the vehicle for social transformation. After 3 years of the Obama administration, we are very far from the hope and change promised in 2008. As the economic crisis continues to deepen, Obama's wars of occupation and terror against oppressed peoples proliferate in every corner of the globe, including inside the U.S. It's time for a people's movement inside this country, not to reform imperialism, but to end it by standing on the side of the movements of African and oppressed peoples. All around the world and inside this country, oppressed peoples are in the streets struggling for justice, self-determination, and an end to the U.S. domination that sucks the lifeblood of oppressed nations for the benefit of a small percentage of humanity. Thousands of white people have been in motion, as well as in the loose-knit Occupy movement that targets the criminality of the bankers and corporations, yet chooses to ignore the Wall Street-backed terror against Africans and Mexican people right here, and against oppressed peoples on every continent. Responding primarily to the effects of imperialism's crisis on the white middle class, the Occupy movement fails to challenge what Wall Street and capitalism mean for the majority of people on this planet. This is a call to stand against imperialism and in solidarity with African, Mexican, and indigenous peoples' demands for liberation and self-determination inside this country and around the world. We believe that until we acknowledge that the crimes of Wall Street and the bankers rest on a pedestal of enslavement, terror, genocide, and resource theft inside this country and around the world, we cannot move forward. It's time to build a movement of white people dedicated to ending a system of oppressors and the oppressed, and being part of building a world in which all human beings can live in peace and prosperity by standing in genuine solidarity with African and other oppressed peoples whose struggles for self-determination are bringing down the pedestal on which Wall Street rests. Please participate in this crucial conference on June 9th and 10th in Philadelphia. This agenda includes workshops and discussions on critical issues such as, is the problem racism or colonialism, and how does that inform the role of white people? The struggle for world peace in the movements for national liberation, how the movement for reparations to African people targets the Wall Street elite. Is the white population really part of the 99%? And Venezuela and the struggle for self-determination. We're going to have open mics and plenaries for your input, and you can also submit papers for discussion as a way of participating in this conference. So again, I do want to put that call out. You can read the piece in its entirety, the call, Occupy Imperialism, on uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com, check out. There'll be information very soon about how you can register and sign up for the convention for June 9th and 10th, 2012, right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And back to the question of CONI 2012, again, our stance is that CONI 2012 is an imperialist campaign. You can read our analysis from Uhuru Solidarity Movement on it, uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com, and post your comments and participate in the discussion. And we do want to call on people listening today to the radio show to participate. You can express yourself through emailing us at dj@uhururadio.com. That's dj@uhururadio.com. You can also call in with any questions if you want to participate in this discussion. The phone number to reach us in the studio here is 727-565-1599. Again, that's 727-565-1599. Or if you're using Skype, you can just contact us on Skype at Uhuru Radio, all lowercase, all one word. Uhururadio. Any other information about contacting us from other countries can be found on uhururadio.com. So we do want to get some analysis directly from the African Socialist International about this this question of the wars in Africa. You know, how do we really understand what's going on in Uganda or Sudan or other parts of Africa? In relation to what the U.S. says, and these charities like Invisible Children trying to convince people that one man named Joseph Kony is the problem, when before Joseph Kony was ever born, there was U.S. and European imperialism intervening in Africa and, waging war on the people and resources of Africa. So there's a presentation that's available on Uhuru News. That's from last year, on March 26, 2011, at the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations conference on the other wars. There's an excellent presentation by Luwazi Kinshasa, who's the Secretary General of the African Socialist International. He's a leader in the Uhuru movement, in the African Socialist International, born in Congo, and currently resides in the UK organizing the ASI there. And he makes a presentation on the permanent war against Africa, which really tells us everything we need to know about the CONI 2012 campaign. because it exposes AFRICOM, Barack Obama's plans and military interventions on the continent of Africa for the rich oil resources and coltan and other resources of the continent of Africa, and you know how the U.S. is justifying its wars on Africa and African people, and what you know, what can be done about it. So this is really, really crucial information for us to understand as white people in solidarity with the movement for African liberation, because otherwise we can get caught up in the sentiment of charity, but we understand much deeper that it is a question of solidarity, and this is how we can express our solidarity with this movement with analysis and leadership like this. So we're going to hear some excerpts from this presentation. We'll get back, and again, you can contact us. The information is on uhururadio.com. You're listening to Reparations in Action, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee on uhururadio.com.
Those who are on probation, you are on pain, you know. And so, you know, this tracking robotics and, you know, what you do on Facebook or YouTube or any other way that can monitor your activity.
Price also, there is some kind of understanding that there is no goods coming out of Africa. Anyone who does anything out of Africa is out of generosity. You know, feel good about yourself and also, you know, make Africa give some.
But, you know, we are involved in a mobilization for self-determination. And one aspect of the work for Black is Back is to bring the truth to the people. Because every time we listen to the news, we're just listening to the liars. Because imperialism or Western society, capitalism, is based on telling liars. Everything they do, they have to tell lies because they cannot stand the truth. And I'm saying that for a simple reason that Africa is a phenomenal place. Yeah. Just think about it, where humanity started. Yeah. Tell me, what kind of place could that be, where humanity began, where you and I, you know, have our origin? Just think about it. Think about, we talk about civilization. We talk about writing. You can't have a civilization without writing. And writing began in Africa. Yeah. Don't listen to the lies that always try to make Egypt and Mesopotamia start at the same time. That's a lie. It took some 70,000 years before Christ, basically, to have the civilization of Egypt to emerge as we know it. Forget about the Greek civilization, because as you know, the Greek civilization or the Greek alphabet is not even the Greek alphabet. You know, alpha, the beta, the omega has nothing to do with Greek language. If you learn the Greek language, if you spoke it, alpha, beta, gamma, all that are not Greek. They're foreigner to Greek language. That's a profound statement. Paper, you know, from papyrus, that's from Africa. So you remove papyrus, remove the alphabet from Africa, what do you have? You have to explain why the center of a Greek civilization was in Egypt, was in Alexandria, Hellenistic civilization. And I'm saying this because for Africans who are listening, because for their mind of the oppressed have to be free, that's really important to us. We have to understand that Europe just came to farming recently. So when you talk about the food, you know, the cucumber, all these, you know, vegetable, the Africans domesticate all that. So when you look at Africa, you're not looking just at any place. You're looking at a phenomenal place. That's the beginning of a civilization. Not just in terms of human beings, but what we call civilization. That's really important. Now, why we need to support Black is Back? One thing is that the chairman just said that the United States and imperialism in general are in a state of permanent war. And when you see how this capitalism began, it began by stealing Africans. That's war. Because remember, for every African that left Africa, he left his wife in Africa, or the wife left her husband in Africa, or someone left his children in Africa, his nieces, his grandparents, uncles, all that. That was war, because you cannot separate a husband from his loving wife without war. You cannot do that. So you have war from the beginning. That's what war. And slavery itself is a form of war. Colonialism is a form of war. It's an economy of war. So from the very beginning up to present day, you're dealing with an economy of war all the time. It's not just the manufacturing of weapons and stuff like that, but the entire edifice, the entire economy requires wars all the time. That's what the system we're dealing with is all about. Now, if you look at Africa today, what you will see? Every day, at least 400 million Africans go hungry. Every day, at least. In the places like the Congo, you have at least 3/4 of the population don't have access to drinking water. But this is a place full of water, rivers, everything like that. You talk about malaria, for example. You have at least 1 million people dying from malaria every day. At least 1 million. And more than a half of those who are dying from malaria are children. That's war. That's war. When you have most of the people in Africa don't have access to food, don't have access to hospitals, just basic health care, don't have access to school, stuff like that, you're talking of war. So war is not just when, you know, the armies are dropping bombs, stuff like that. When you die from hunger and you are sick and you know you will die because you don't have money to pay the doctors. And families, they know their loved ones are going to die because they know they can't afford to take the loved one to hospital. And that's what something you see throughout Africa. Wherever you go, from South Africa to North Africa, you see people suffering, catching hell in every serious way. That's what imperialism has imposed on us as a result, as a condition of having access to our resources. They don't just go and say, we're going to trade with you. There's no trade. They go and loot, and kill, and impose all these conditions of existence to their people. And that's what you see every day. And we talk about the situation of wars, as people understand it. You have heard about war in Sudan. You heard about war in the Congo. You heard about war in Angola. You heard about war in Nigeria, war in Mozambique. And you can name all these places. Imperialism has involved for sometimes now in Africa in wars to reverse the gains made through the struggles for independence. You all know the greatest struggles of the 60s. And the response of the United States was what? Is to impose wars in all those places where they saw the emergence of a powerful national liberation movement. When they were not able to control those national movement, they imposed war on the people. And one example is the Congo itself. You all remember the great Patrice Lumumba? Yeah. What was the results? What was the response to the United States? It was murder of Patrice Lumumba, murder of all the leaders around Patrice Lumumba, but also an imposition of war on the Congo. And we have a situation where at least 1 million people were killed just in the process to impose what they call peace. Well, we are not able to fight back anymore. Yeah. 1 million people. And they film it. There are footages now on the internet where you can see what they say mop out. They will go on houses, half the houses, and the children, you know, they'll be hidden in the house, they'll throw grenades, and anyone who tried to run away, then shoot them, you know. They did that for, you know, for days in the Congo, you know, in the heartlands of Patrice Lumumba. Because they said anyone who was from the age of 70 years old is Lumumbaist, so you should go deal with them. So they killed, and they killed, and killed. You know, that's how it was. When the peace movement here talks about war, they're not talking about the war that's taking place in Africa, generally speaking. I never seen a sustained anti-war movement in Europe, in England, where I am, to stop the war taking place against Africa. I never seen that. I never heard of any massive mobilization against war, against wars taking place in the Congo. I never seen that. I never seen anything like that. But you have a situation where at least 5 million people are dead. And every day in the Congo, at least 2,000 people die as a result of the imposition of war. Because you've got to see, the war that has been imposed in the Congo has been imposed on the condition of genocide. I'm not just talking about the war where you get the guns and all that. But the people who are suffering from war have no access to health care whatsoever. So when they run away from the war, where do they go? They go in the bushes, but when you go in the bushes, you don't have access to basic food, like basic clean water, stuff like that. And the people die as a result of running away from war. People die as a result of being put in the concentration camps. Because in any given time, when you go to places like Congo, Sudan, you have millions and millions of Africans in what they call refugee camps or internally displaced camps, which are nothing but concentration camps. You remember the cholera that's killing Africans in Haiti? Yeah. That's how it works, because you can all live in a concentration camps. There are no sanitation, there are nothing, no clean water, no healthcare, nothing. So people are concentrated, just part like animals, because that's a way also of killing people. We are saying that it's war, because you just run away from war. Now you're safe, you are in the refugee camps. But refugee camps themselves are death camps. Death camps. And you will see many people dying just as a result of being in those death camps. And war in Africa, it's not just war where they drop bombs, as I'm saying. It's also war to break the spirit. Let's break the spirit, to break the resistance, the will to resist. And you should see how they do it in the Congo. You have rape, collective rapes, where they govern the community. You're going to watch, surrounded by soldiers. And they not only soldiers, they rape the women in front of everybody, and the husband and the children have to watch. You don't watch, they kill you in front of everybody. Then they will get the young to rape the older women. And you know something about African culture? A younger person cannot see a naked body of an adult because they believe you will be cursed. Now you get a young people to do that in the front of everybody. So you're destroying psychologically, not just that person and that woman, also the entire community. This is not a one-off. This planned, organized. That's what they teach them in the School of America, so those kind of places. That's strategy for warfare, how you destroy the community's spirit to resist. So no one wants to talk to anybody. Everyone wants to be by themselves or run away. You know, men just leave the families, they go somewhere else because they can't deal with what they just witnessed. And this has been going on for years and years and years. That's what's going on right now as we're talking in the Congo. You get our children, you give them guns. They are what, 11, they are 10, they are 12. As a condition to give them those guns, they have to kill. We've got friends, we go to the armies, they tell us what they did. They explain that you have to kill 50 when we go to that place. You kill 100, and they have to justify those killings. So you remember King Leopold II? When they build their army, that for every bullet used, you must justify the use of that bullet. So the soldiers will bring back hands, penises, stuff like that to justify. That's what they did. It has no change, the same thing. Those young men have to justify what they're doing. So you have the break up of social fabrics, as we're talking right now, because this will make it difficult for people to come together and organize and fight back. That's what basically it's happening now. And that war you see, and then when you watch the TV and we are told what? We are told is tribal wars, is ethnic wars. There are no ethnic wars like that in Africa. All the wars in Africa are imperialist wars, all of them imperialist wars, because they are wars to bring the loots, to bring the gold, to bring the coltan. like everybody was using a mobile phone, everybody was using a cell phone, everybody was using Nintendos, you name it. All these things have loots, raw material coming from Africa, in particular coming from the Congo where the war has been taking place. Because you cannot have those stuff without a content that is the best material to control the heat in the computers, on your cell phone. That's the best material to build those capacitors that control, you know, the heat. And that's how they having access to those materials in Africa. It's not paid for. Nothing has changed. African labor, not paid for. African resources, not paid for. You can go in the Congo and you will not find an evidence of the resources that are coming from those raw materials. Because the way they have organized the looting there, they have all these armies that are backed by neocon governments, region, and themselves backed by the United States. They loot the place and all the materials being sold to intermediate enterprises, so it makes it difficult to track back where the stuff is coming from. Because if you go to cell phone companies here, they will say they bought the stuff legally. But they have in-between companies that are set up. And those in-between companies, they are the ones who go straight to the rebel areas and buy the stuff and then export it. So the national government doesn't have any record or stuff like that, or even abilities to control anything, because that's the strategy of imperialism. Just keep the war going on, and the war allows imperialism to have access to all these resources and bring them out. And this way, then you can say, you can justify it's a tribal war, it's ethnic war, because the only thing now you can see, you can give as a rationale to the world who's watching, to say it's a the people, the Tutsi versus this, or this tribe that against this tribe this. But there is nothing like that. What you see is imperialist war manifesting itself in terms of neocolonial war. You have the African bourgeoisie who have accepted the mission of imperialism. The mission of imperialism, which is, you know, is to loot Africa, to kill Africans, get our labor for free, get our resource for free, and the African petty bourgeoisie has accepted that. They see this as the only way for them to achieve their own personal ambitions, which is to be just like white rulers or white people in general. So they have accepted that. But we are the African internationalists. We are just coming the opposite direction. Our mission is to free Africa, is to unite Africa. And we believe in a very serious way that all our problems have to be solved as one people. Yeah. And a part of our efforts to build this anti-war movement is to win Africa to the African consciousness. By that we mean that we cannot have an anti-war movement just for Haiti, for example. Or we cannot have an anti-war movement just for Congo. Or we can have a national application of that, but it has first to be a unified anti-war movement to end all wars against Africa and black people everywhere. That's the starting point. That's where we are. Because remember, our history is very clear. We are in this situation, we are in this mess, because when Europe began attacking Africa 30 or 40 years before Christopher Colombo got here, because the kidnapping of Africans was taking place already. Europe has already captured part of Africa, North Africa, and coming down south before the Christopher Columbus got to America, 30 or 40 years before. And our response from then was individualized response. You know, people in West Coast Africa, this part, they will fight against the Danish, against the Flemish, against the English, against whoever was coming from Europe. It was always individualized response. And this is something we have suffered from in the last 500 years. So when we say we're going to overturn the verdict of imperialism, first we have to rectify our own weakness, which is individualized response to attacks coming up on us. So we have to have a unified response to everything we do. And then we can have a nationalized, a localized response as a part of a unified approach. And this is feasible and it's easy even in time of electronics. Garvey tried to do it. You know what Garvey achieved? Yeah. So now we can do even better than Garvey tried to do, because we have the lessons of Garvey and we have the technology in our favor. You know, so unified approach is really, really fundamental that we put this on the ground. And what we want to do is we have some clear proposals. We see this mobilization as part of the offensive of the oppressed to retake control of our lives. You watch the TV, the mobilization in Egypt. This part of mobilization you saw in Egypt too. Because we are doing it in a different condition, because the Africans are here all over the place in Americas and Africa as fragmented, dispersed nation. So our response will have its own particularity, which is that, you know, we find ourselves in this room. So we want to do, we want to use these events to mobilize further, mobilization basically, to build the movements against the war. So I would like to put the first resolution to this, you know, assembly, that you support the resolution that the LD this year be used as another platform for the Black is Back, basically to mobilize forever, to build an anti-war movement against Africa and African people around the world. That will be the first one. And the second one is in August, that on the 20th, that will be Saturday, that we do an international day of action against imperialist war on Africa and African people worldwide. And that will give opportunity to all Africans around the world to come together. Because one part, one condition for our victory is to unify the consciousness of the Africans. In the mind of African people, we have to see ourselves as 1 billion people strong, moving in the same direction, which is the liberation and unification of our homeland, which is Africa. Because remember, Africa is your homeland, it's our homeland. That's a right you cannot give away, and you never give it away anyway, because there is no one who can say anything like that. So that's the two proposals I would like to put on the floor here for us to take further. And another thing I would like to mention is the question of the UN and the struggle for reparation and the question of ICC. You all know they are international criminal courts. We should be the one, you know, putting imperialism and the leaders to our own courts. But imperialism knows something about history. They anticipate that the world, the Africans, if Africans have to achieve justice, social justice, we will have to put imperialism in our own courts. Because imperialism has to be killed by the African Revolution. We will be the one who put imperialism in the coffin. We are the one who invented the coffin, but now we can see why we invented the coffin, because we're going to put imperialism in that coffin. So we want to build our own institution, our own courts, because imperialism right now some kind of a counter-offensive to confuse the people, also to intimidate further the African bourgeoisie so they can comply even more. Because every Negro who is in power in Africa is scared that their bosses will put them in court. Because they know what they did, imperialism allowed them to do what they did. So they know all that. So we're saying we have to build our own tribunal where we will put imperialism on trial, so they can stand trial under the leadership of the African working class. Just quickly about the UN. The UN is institutions being used more and more by imperialism to advance their cause, not just with the bombing of Libya. As you can see, imperialism never fought a just war. Imperialism cannot fight a just war, because imperialism means genocide for Africans and all the colonized people around the world. There is no ground whatsoever for imperialism to claim any kind of just war, but the UN gave them a mandate, because they control the UN and they give themselves a mandate. So, you know, here you are. You have UN force in the Congo, about some 20,000 troops. have UN force in a high for cause, some about 8,000 troops. You have UN force in Sudan. You have UN forces in Haiti. So you can see the UN, whenever imperialism cannot act unilaterally, just like United States cannot go there by himself, they always comes to a collective understanding that the UN can do the work for them. So we need to have our own international, which means that we need to win all the revolutionaries around the world, all honest, genuine revolutionaries, to build our own international, which is going to be made of an African Socialist International and all honest, serious revolutionaries from Latin America, from the Middle East, from anywhere else, to replace the UN as a really global world organization of the people. Because the UN is not an institution of the people. That's an imperialist institution. So I know my time's up. I just want to say once more, I'm really glad and honored to be here, to be part of history, and participate in this magnificent struggle to kill imperialism. Uhuru.
Uhuru, that was Secretary General Luwazi Kinshasa of the African Socialist International speaking on the permanent war against Africa from the 2011 Black Is Back Coalition Conference on the Other Wars. It was an amazing presentation, and I think it's so appropriate to revisit that analysis considering the recent influx of internet activity, you know, calling for the International Criminal Court to attack one African militant leader when the whole concept of the International Criminal Court led by imperialism really is meant to cover over the fact that the true criminals, the true war criminals that need to be brought to justice and put on trial are U.S. and European imperialism. And it is the African Socialist International leading the way for the reparations tribunal of African people, of which there have been many sessions up to this date, to put the U.S. and European imperialism on trial. So to wrap today's show up, we do want to speak about a few events and some campaigns happening. Most immediately, if you're in the Bay Area in Oakland, California, or want to pop over the bridge from San Francisco or anywhere else in that area, please check out today at 4 p.m., at the Uhuru House in Oakland is a kickoff Oakland Freedom Summer Project town hall meeting from 4 to 7 p.m. It's at the Uhuru House, which is in, it's at the Uhuru House, which is 7911 MacArthur Boulevard in Oakland, California. For more information, call 510-569-9620, and this is your opportunity to see Chairman Omali Eshitela, the leader and founder of the Uhuru Movement, the chairman of the African Socialist International, and he'll be speaking right there live at the town hall meeting at 4 o'clock, also joined by Elaine Brown, the former chairwoman of the Black Panther Party, who has been active in working with the Uhuru Movement to build the Oakland Freedom Summer Project, which will be this July 2012. Also, Harry Simon Salazar of Union del Barrio, which is the indigenous Mexicano-Chicano organization that is a fraternal solidarity with the African People's Socialist Party, and our own chairwoman, Penny Hess, who leads the African People's Solidarity Committee, will all be speaking today at 4 p.m. in Oakland, California. For more information, go to uhurunews.com. Also, for the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the work to build the Oakland Freedom Summer Project, the Uhuru Jiko Freedom Kitchen, and the Uhuru House Community Center renovations, and to build the African Future and African Hands Tour, which we've spoken about before on this show, please check out the Wednesday night meetings at 7 p.m. The next meeting will be this Wednesday, March 14th, at the Niebel Proctor Library at 6501 Telegraph Avenue in Oakland, California. For more information, again, call 510-394-1780. If you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we're having regular meetings on Thursday nights, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at our Uhuru Solidarity Center at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philadelphia to build the fourth annual Earth Uprising Festival and Flea Market, which is Saturday, April 21st in Clark Park. And we're looking for vendors, performers, speakers, people to do workshops, volunteers, and businesses and organizations to sponsor and endorse. So get in touch with us at philly@uhurusolidarity.org. Call 215-387-0919 to get involved. There's also Friday night meetings in Philadelphia to build the Africa's Future and African Hands Tour featuring nurse midwife Mary Karoma, who is the director of APDEP's Infant and Maternal Health Project, who will be here in April speaking at the Earth Uprising Festival on April 21st, but there will also be other community events. So please check out our meetings Fridays at the Solidarity Center in West Philly. For a tour packet and more info, contact us at philly@uhurusolidarity.org. Finally, also in Philadelphia, you and all who are listening are invited to the open house of Uhuru Furniture, which is an economic development project of the African People's Education and Defense Fund, the 501c3 nonprofit that is led by the Uhuru movement. And the Uhuru Furniture store at 1220 Spruce Street will be having an open house Sunday, March 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. with Ona Zanea Shatella, who's the president of the African People's Education Defense Fund. There's going to be light refreshments, live music, and a store-wide sale. Check out apedf.org or uhurufurniturephilly.blogspot.com. And I do want to just take the last couple minutes here to please, to encourage everyone listening to sign the petition, post on your Facebook, and go right now to uhurunews.com for information about the campaign to free Fred Rio. I know they spoke about it last week on the show, but Fred Rio is a young African man in St. Petersburg, Florida, who on February 7th was arrested by police in riot gear in his home, who framed him up, essentially, for bogus charges, and said the probable cause was the music video that he made, which is ridiculous. A music video on Facebook, and also, you know, they were monitoring his Facebook account with a picture of an African man being lynched by an American flag, which is a very apt analogy in imagery. But yeah, essentially, he was arrested for a video on YouTube. And they absolutely have attacked his rights to freedom and everyone's rights to free speech. If you believe in free speech, if you you know, believe that no one should be locked up for what content they put on the internet, especially if it's something as harmless as a music video, and believe that this is in fact a real attack on the African community that's deepening the police containment of African people in cities around the U.S., just the way that the U.S. is intensifying the wars on Africa around the world and on African people, get involved in the campaign to free Fred Rio. Today in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Uhuru House, there will be a Sunday rally that's at 4 p.m. And if you go to uhurunews.com, there's an article and a video about the Fred Rio campaign. You can find links to the online petition to sign the petition, and you can write letters to Fred Rio directly supporting him as an African political prisoner, and you can make a donation on the Free Fred Rio WePay site. So please find all of this information on Uhuru News or on our blog at uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com. And again, if you haven't read our article, Colonialism 2012, please read it, because it's absolutely essential for us to understand, as you know, white people in the U.S., what the true nature of this Kony 2012 video is, and you know, white charities professing that they're going to save African people, when in reality, African people are going to liberate themselves, and it's time for us to get involved in true principled solidarity. And we want to call on you, all of you listening, to join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. Go to uhurusolidarity.org today and become a member. It's only $25 a year or $10 a year if you're a student. Become a sustainer. Do $1 a day, $5 a month, $10 a month, anything you can do. And support the movement for African self-determination, liberation, and reparations. This has been Reparations in Action on uhururadio.com. We want to thank you for listening and say, All power to the people, black power to the African community, one Africa, one nation, reparations now, Uhuru.
We live in a world that is constructed of the theft of the resources, both material and human, of African and other people as a consequence of its existence. Stealing black labor, black bodies, black territory, of the rape of Asia, Latin America, etc. It's a rotten, foul social system. That's the world we live in. And if you raise the question of reparations, it makes it necessary for African people to come to terms with this. So much is done against us all the time. Demoralizing black people. You took my money, you took my resources, you stole every damn thing.